What if the future wasn't this blank page we're all rushing towards? What if it's something that maybe on some fundamental level already exists? And what if that feeling, you know, that time's running out, that constant race, what if that is the biggest illusion our minds have ever cooked up? Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really jumping into the deep end, looking at sources that pull together, well, some pretty heavy stuff, quantum physics, Einstein's relativity, even ancient spiritual ideas. And our goal is to get our heads around this radical concept of what time really is. Basically, we're going to unpack this idea that linear time, you know, past, present, future, straight line, is actually a kind of time illusion. We'll look at the evidence from physics, from geometry, that suggests all moments, everything that's happened or will happen, they all just coexist right now.
Yeah, and that's immediately challenging, isn't it? Because our whole experience, everything we feel, is about flow, about things changing. So if the science points towards a universe that's static, like a finished object containing all of time, then the big puzzle is, why do we feel change? Why this sense of becoming? It's that tension, right, between the fixed reality and our fluid experience. That's where we need to start.
Okay, let's start with the science then. The roots of this whole future already exists idea. We have to go back to Einstein, don't we? His theory of relativity, that was the game changer. The realization that time isn't separate from space.
Exactly. They're woven together. It's not three dimensions plus time. It's this single four-dimensional thing called space-time. And the fact that gravity isn't really a force, but it's the shape, the warping of this space-time fabric, well, that messes with time itself. Mm. Because if you affect space, like with gravity, you affect time. Think time dilation, near black holes, that kind of thing.
Right. And this whole picture, this unified 4D structure, it kind of forces a philosophical conclusion, doesn't it? This idea called eternalism, or the block universe theory.
That's the one. Yeah, the block universe. It essentially says space-time is this fixed, unchanging, four-dimensional block. Every event from the Big Bang right to the very end, whenever that is, it's all equally real, equally there, simultaneously within this block. The analogy they use is pretty stark. The universe isn't like a river flowing.
It's a frozen river.
Exactly, a frozen river. And our awareness, our consciousness, is just sort of tracing a path that's already set within the ice.
Okay, but that's where it gets really counterintuitive. If the path is frozen, if it's all fixed, then what about free will? What about things genuinely emerging? If the whole story is already written, chapter and verse, then what are we actually doing? Just acting it out.
And that's the pushback, absolutely. That's the fierce resistance this idea gets, because it feels so wrong experientially. Mm. It's why you get counterarguments in philosophy. Some theories, like the dual kernel theory, try to bridge this gap. They say, okay, maybe Einstein's equations describing the block are right physically, but our subjective experience of flow, of becoming, that's also real, also fundamental. So maybe there's some constant rebalancing act happening within the block that allows for our feeling of moving through time. But the block itself, that underlying structure, it's still there.
All right, so we have this huge fixed block universe. But how does something static contain all the complexity we see? The cycles, the patterns, the feeling of change. How does a geometric block produce, well, life? This is where the next piece comes in, right? The fractal.
Exactly. If the block universe is fixed, it needs an internal structure, an organizing principle that can repeat infinitely. And that structure, mathematically, is the fractal. You know, fractals, these incredibly complex shapes defined by self-similarity.
Where the part looks like the whole.
Precisely. The pattern repeats itself no matter how closely you zoom in or how far you zoom out.
And you see them everywhere in nature, which the sources really emphasize. Tree branches, coastlines, snowflakes.
Neurons in our brain.
Even how galaxies cluster together, yeah.
Yeah.
It strongly suggests the universe uses this kind of repeating nested logic. Patterns within patterns.
So apply that to the block universe. If it's structured like a vast multidimensional fractal, then time isn't a straight line. It's more like a giant spiral. And this means that every single moment, the now you're experiencing, it contains echoes, structural echoes of the entire timeline. Universal cycles are encoded right into this present instant.
It's like the whole pattern is compressed into each point.
Exactly. The present holds the memory, the pattern of the whole thing.
Wow. Okay. And that leads to this concept of fractal consciousness, mm-hmm. which is the awareness that all these patterns, history, destiny, archetypes, they're not just stories we tell. They're mathematically encoded into every moment, like a blueprint in reality itself.
That's the idea. It suggests consciousness isn't just experiencing the pattern. It's intrinsically linked to the pattern's structure.
Okay, this is getting really interesting. But now we hit another big question. If the block universe holds all possibilities, all these infinite fractal pathways, mm-hmm. Why do I experience just this one? How does my awareness pick out this single thread of reality I call my life? And for this, we need to shift gears a bit from relativity to quantum physics.
Right. This is where consciousness potentially stops being just a passenger on the frozen river and becomes something more active. Quantum mechanics brings in the observer effect. Before you measure or observe a quantum system, it exists in this fuzzy state, a superposition, a wave of possibilities.
Like Schrodinger's cat being both alive and dead.
Kind of, yeah. It's only the act of observation, the measurement, that forces it to choose, to collapse that wave function into one definite state. The particle appears, the cat is either alive or dead, the reality becomes concrete.
So, are we saying that the linear time we perceive is just the result of our consciousness constantly observing, constantly collapsing the wave?
That's the philosophical leap some of these sources make. Consciousness becomes the agent of creation.
The agent of creation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the lens or the mirror focusing on that infinite ocean of potential within the fixed block. And by focusing, it collapses it into the single stream we experience as reality unfolding. So the time illusion, that feeling of moving forward, isn't inherent to the block. It's the mind projecting a consistent story, selecting one path out of infinitely many potential paths that are already there in the block.
Okay, so the sources kind of map this out with a model, like a trinity, to understand the roles.
Sort of, yeah. A simple way to frame it, you've got source or spirit. That's the timeless potential, the ultimate blueprint, the origin of the fractal pattern itself. Then you have consciousness, the observer. That's the mirror, the lens we just talked about. It interprets the blueprint, collapses the potential, and that act creates the experience of linear time, the illusion.
And the third part?
That's space-time, the playground. That's the field, the dimension where the collapsed reality actually takes shape. And crucially, within that playground, the future already exists as potential, just waiting for consciousness to observe it into being.
And this whole interaction works on what they call the mirror principle.
Exactly. Reality, the playground, can only reflect back the version of events, the timeline, that matches the frequency or the internal state of the observer of consciousness.
So it's an inside-out job.
Completely. If you want to change what you see in the mirror, you don't try to change the reflection.
You change yourself.
You change the source.
That changes everything, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because it means if your external reality feels chaotic or stuck,
yeah,
the fix isn't necessarily out there. It's not about pushing harder against the world.
No.
The sources say it's about internal coherence, about precise internal engineering, tuning your own frequency, basically.
Which leads us to the practical side. If the future is already encoded in this timeless block, what does that mean for us day to day? What's the point of trying? Well, the point shifts. It's not about racing towards some future goal or trying desperately to predict what's coming. Liberation comes from dissolving the mental clock, from fully arriving in the present.
Embracing the density of the now. That phrase really stood out. If time is a spiral, the present isn't just fleeting. It's infinitely dense. How does that work?
Because it contains the pattern of the whole spiral. Think of the fractal again, that the pattern repeats at every scale. The now moment is a point on that spiral, but it structurally reflects the entire spiral. It holds the memory, the blueprint of your past and your potential future. It's why they say every second is a reflection of eternity folded into itself.
That's not just poetry, it's geometry.
It's fractal geometry, yeah. So by truly inhabiting the now, you're not just experiencing a moment, you're potentially accessing the entire pattern, including the future that's already encoded within it. That's fractal consciousness in action.
And the easiest way in isn't some complex mental exercise. It's the body. Because the body is only ever here, right now.
Absolutely. The body is the anchor to the present. It can't be anywhere else. So spiritual practice often becomes about somatic awareness, feeling your breath, your feet on the ground. Meditation in this context is like learning to notice the quiet space between your thoughts. That stillness isn't emptiness. It's seen as a doorway to that deeper, timeless self that exists beneath the mind's constant narration of linear time.
The sources use that character, Elias Cronus, as an example of this shift, right? His whole struggle wasn't really against time.
No, his struggle was internal. It was always about his relationship to the structure of time. He was fighting the pattern from within the pattern.
It was recursive.
Exactly. And his breakthrough wasn't about gaining control or predicting the future like a superpower. His access to future moments came through deep remembrance, remembering parts of the pattern, parts of himself that were already encoded. His shift was from ego wanting to control time to soul, or alignment surrendering to the pre-existing fractal design and finding his place within it. The fight was internal alignment, not external manipulation.
Okay, let's try and wrap this up. We've journeyed through Einstein, blocks, fractals, consciousness. The core idea seems to be our feeling of time flowing in a straight line is a useful, maybe even necessary, time illusion. It's created by our consciousness so we can navigate experience within this bigger fixed geometric reality of the block universe. And the punchline. The future already exists, not as a single predetermined track, but as encoded potential within the fractal patterns of this block.
Right. So the real work, the real revolution, isn't about changing the world out there. It's about mastering your internal state, your frequency. It's about aligning your consciousness with the truth of the pure. Now, understanding that this present moment holds the infinite density of the entire pattern.
So if our consciousness is the thing collapsing the infinite possibilities of the block into the single reality we experience, the big question for you listening right now is, what internal frequency are you broadcasting consistently? And therefore, what timeline are you choosing moment by moment to collapse and live within? The awakening described here isn't about breaking out of the fractal. It seems it's about realizing it was never a cage. It's a canvas just waiting for your conscious artistry.